Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 148. Let us read responsively by half verse. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all you angels of his.
Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, heaven and heaven of heavens.
And you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For he commanded and they were created.
He made them stand fast forever and ever.
He gave them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth.
You sea monsters and all beasts.
Fire and hail, snow and fog.
Tempestuous wind and doing of Israel.
Mountains and all hills.
Fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle.
Creeping things and winged birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples.
Princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens.
Old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For his name only is exalted. His splendor is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people and praise for all his loyal servants.
The children of Israel. People who are wondering. Hallelujah.
A reading from the Revelation to John. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is made among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be seated, please. Yesterday I did something I've been thinking about for some while, especially when I've come up against Sunday readings in which I can find no toehold. Don't get me wrong, they're perfectly good readings. I'm sure the biblical authors are breathing a sigh of relief to have my favorable judgment about that. The fault for not finding a place of traction lies not in the readings, but in my stunted imagination. And now, having written that yesterday, and I'm going to tell you more about that, well, what that led me to, I have to say, listening to Karen read this morning, every word sounded like a sermon. The psalm is amazing. That glorious hymn to all of creation praising the Creator. It doesn't get a lot better than that. But, of course, that won't stop me from continuing here. Anyway, the thing I'd been thinking about was reading John's Gospel start to finish in one go as a way of situating the day's readings. Even then, I didn't really do it. I skimmed the Gospel and jotted notations for each chapter. And once again, I was struck by how quickly John gets to the passion of our Lord. His gospel is very nearly 50-50, a little less than 50% before the passion, and the other half starting with the passion through to the end. Of 21 chapters, John devotes nearly 8 to the passion. Over, I wrote here, almost one third of the book, it's over one third of the book. And it's not just the passion material. The whole of his gospel recounts a story of conflict, a kind of storyteller's dream, holding his audience in the palm of his hand. We're real murder mystery fans at home. Sometimes if the action in the film starts too slowly, And if the acting and directing aren't good enough to override that in our judgment, we'll say something like, "Doesn't this seem to be dragging?" and switch it off. Now, if a jogger tripped over a dead body in the first 5 or 10 minutes, though, and the production values are average or above, one of us will say, "I'm in," and we stick with it. So John, in conflict, even in that soaring and beautiful prelude, "In the beginning was the Word," one of a handful, literally, of my favorite, very favorite passages in the Bible. Even in that soaring passage, he plants the seed of conflict right away. By verse 10, he's saying, "He was in the world, and the world came into being through him." And here it comes, the first leaning into the realm of conflict. "Yet," the little three-letter word, "yet, the world did not know him." I'm in. Just like that, you can almost hear those low, brooding notes of movie soundtrack signaling something mysterious, a sense of foreboding. John delivers on this early promise, wasting no time before Jesus is right there in the temple, throwing the money changers out. That certainly puts him at odds with the powers that be, upsetting that smooth operation that the moneylenders had. By chapter 4, Jesus and his band are headed back to Galilee by way of Samaria and the story of the woman at the well. Once again, he's thrown into problems with prejudices and hierarchies. The prejudice is akin to, if not just flat out, state-sponsored discrimination. There are healings and other miracles all along the way, of course, with Jesus pushing the envelope, saying things like, "I am the bread of life," and referring to his own body and blood as the food and drink of eternal life. The authorities by this point are going from a low simmer to a rolling boil. John tells us by chapter 7 that angry leaders are looking to kill Jesus. Referring to my homemade cliff notes, I see that Nicodemus makes his second appearance in order to tell those leaders that they can't make any judgment against Jesus without a trial. That turns out to be prescient. After halting the near stoning of a woman, healing a blind man, and narrowly avoiding attempts on his own life, he goes to the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha to raise Lazarus from the dead. I'd forgotten, and that's one reason for this exercise yesterday, my faulty memory, that the raising of Lazarus is the tipping point in this drama. That action is just too much for the religious leaders seeking to maintain their positions and authority, and to give them their due, to guard against what some of them saw as the dilution and destruction of their religion. It's in chapter 11 that the real plotting of Jesus' death begins. The Pharisees are recruiting informants to mount a trumped-up case against him. The day after the Lazarus incident is what we commemorate on Palm Sunday, that procession into Jerusalem. And we pretty well know what follows that, since Holy Week was only about a month ago. That brings us to today's reading, the Last Supper, which we read on Maundy Thursday, which we'll leave for the moment. In John's telling of the Passion, Jesus speaks to his disciples about making it through, how to be truly alive in the midst of ongoing conflict. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he tells them. But take courage, I have conquered the world. He warns them that they're up against people trying to determine the nature of truth, that some of them, as I hinted earlier, want to kill the disciples because they, quote, will think that by doing so they are offering worship to God. I find that a stunning statement. And that's the kind of stuff straight out of serial killer horror movie stuff. Throughout this period, Jesus also reassures them with the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. In John's account, the crucifixion looks like a violent end to the ongoing conflict between the rule-bound authorities and those who are called to love everyone, as we see in both today's passage from John and the one from Acts. It appears as if the conflict has been brought to a horrific close by the triumph of the powers of darkness. Those who tell Pilate, in other words, if you release him, you're no friend of the emperor. They've won. Jesus is taken from the cross and buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But the next to last chapter sees Mary Magdalene going to the grave to make sure everything's in order. When she sees the stone has been rolled away, she panics and runs to tell Peter. More drama. How can this be? The three, John is now with them. He seems always to insinuate himself in this situation. They see the empty tomb, and the men go home. The men go home. Mary stays, sees the angel, and then the gardener, who turns out to be the resurrected Jesus. The risen Lord appears that evening and again a week later to accommodate the doubting Thomas and once more on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. That was the reading from 2 weeks ago in which Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep and follow me. That's really the end of John's gospel. There's just a brief gloss about the author after that. Returning to today's reading, as I said I would, we can see that this is the crux of the whole thing. By the whole thing, I mean the incarnation, the resurrection, the real resolution of the conflict in which we can still find ourselves. How do we make our way in this beautiful, sometimes terrifying world? God's creation that somehow is still fraught with dilemmas and difficult choices. It's simple. But as I've said before, it's not easy. It's in Jesus' parting words to his disciples before he was hauled off to a kangaroo court and assassination dressed up as a legal execution. Could hardly be more straightforward and challenging. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We believe in one Lord Jesus.
Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, wherewith the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever.
Amen."
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us,
that we may be alive. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
My
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore,
keep the feast. Alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.